Everybody. Argus.
Get them.
We're back.
Tell them.
Once again, it's a little pocket awareness.
Yes, sir.
We're back. It's the third episode of the season. It's exciting.
Back-to-back weeks. We're getting in a groove.
We're getting in a groove. Back-to-back weeks, you know. All right. So, you know, we already know what to do. You know, hit us on Apple. Subscribe. Hit it. Download on Spotify. You know, go ahead and check us out on Twitter at the Mark John NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris, you know, and then also follow A Little Pocket Awareness, the own Twitter page, ALPA_QB1. So make sure you follow that there. And then, you know, make sure you follow us on Instagram as well as ALPA_QB1, same at. Same handle. So make sure you follow us there as well. And follow us everywhere. You know, we got a lot of topics to get through today. I mean, you ready for today, Chris? You ready for it?
I'm ready, Marcus. I got a few things I gotta say.
Okay, you got some things you wanna let out?
We're gonna let you have something to say, and we're gonna let me have something to say.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna talk, you know, a little bit of, you know, who's elite. We're gonna get into that at the end. Who's elite right now? Who isn't? You know, I think Chris wants to enter somebody back into that elite discussion. We probably already know who that is. It's right behind him in the. You can see the plaque. Or you can't see the plaque.
We're gonna hit him with the video this week.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I can see the plaque. But you know, we're gonna talk about the big benching, Dwayne Haskins. Look at how the other sophomore quarterbacks are doing. Talk about Dak Prescott, who's off to a career year, and we'll just talk about that, how that's looking. But first things first, you know, a guy I wanted to talk about. I don't know if Chris wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about Josh Allen, who just came off another big game against the Raiders. He is putting up some big numbers. Last week he threw another 288, two touchdowns. YPA, 70% completion percentage. He's putting together a good run. Let's say that. And one reason I wanted to talk about Josh, what I found interesting about last week with Josh is, you know, the weeks before, yeah, he was playing, you know, the Raiders aren't good defense. I'm not going to say the Raiders are a good defense. Don't get me wrong, people. The Raiders are not a good defense, okay? I just wanted to get that out there. This is from a Raiders fan. They're not good, okay? So you could have that argument. Josh hasn't played a good defense yet, but the Rams are a pretty good defense. But there's a difference here, though. There's a difference. The Raiders, what they actually did is they made Josh – play quarterback a little bit, right? And he did it. So I thought that was the craziest thing. I don't know, you know, you saw some of that game, Chris, but I thought I kind of want to talk about that, because if he's playing quarterback now and he's just not big arm and I'm going to run around and make a play, which he's still doing some stuff. Like, he just, like, left-handed thing. That was just ridiculous. He just refuses to let the play go sometimes. He just can't take a sack sometimes. He's still doing those same things, right? But it tripped me out just, like, how quickly he was reading the field. And I don't know. I feel like that he might be taking that next step. And we might all have to eat crow. I'm going to have to eat crow, too. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to talk about that, Chris. Like, what do you think of the Josh Allen's ascension this year?
So, I also got to spend some time watching that game.
Okay.
And Marcus, I do not disagree with you. I was very, very surprised watching him play the quarterback position. You're right. The Raiders made him play quarterback. And the guy showed up.
Yeah.
I was very impressed. I was very, very impressed with what I saw. I got to watch basically that entire game.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, Marcus. He was playing quarterback. Now, he's still exactly like you're talking about. He refuses to give up on a play. And I think the confidence in his ability, and he's young and he's so big and he's got just an absolute cannon. I don't know if that will ever leave his mindset.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And I agree with that.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out against a better defense.
Or in the playoffs. If he takes a sack like he did. Like when they're up 30-16 on the Raiders and he took that sack.
And then the game can switch just like that in the playoffs.
You can't do that in the playoffs.
It was a very – I mean, you want to lay it out. That's basically what happened against Houston last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean – I'm right there with you. He is trying to make me eat some crow here, Marcus.
I think he's making a lot of people eat crow. But I think his ascension is more than like – I mean, it's a big jump from year two to year three. Like, this is
– I completely agree with you. Like, huge jump.
That throw he threw to John Brown for the touchdown, which I still have no idea how he fit that ball in there. But
he's a very special arm talent, and it's one thing to have the arm talent because there's a lot of guys in the league that can throw, that can just whip the ball around the field.
Yeah.
But to be able to put it together, now it's all about, can he do it consistently? Is this something that we're going to see week in and week out? It's one thing when you got a lead and you're blowing the doors off of somebody and a mistake here and there doesn't cost you anything. If he's in a game where it matters, and we'll see as the year progresses and in the playoffs what type of quarterback he really is.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. But, you know, and I mean, you can make the case, like I said, that he hasn't played a good defense yet. But I think that, like, just based on his intended air yards, which is like 6.4, which is very short for him, and all those things, he was still very efficient when he had to be, and then he came with the big bomb at the end to seal the game. Like, but like that kind of shows that he's a different quarterback. Like there's like a lot of plays where, like, the touchdown he threw to Cole Beasley, like he read that so quick. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like
that was did. Like, that was like, great. That was fantastic. He did a phenomenal job with that. But at the same time, that was such a big blown coverage by the defense. Yeah. Here's my problem. These defenses at the beginning of the year have zero respect for Josh Allen. Zero respect.
Yeah. So I think the Raiders showed his respect. They're just idiots.
I think that there's a level. I mean, the way that they came out and stepped on the throats of the Rams at the beginning of that game earlier in the season, I think when the Rams tightened up, you saw what we originally thought of Josh Allen until the end of the game there, where he was able to get lucky with a pass interference call and reset it. I mean, they honestly should have lost that football game, blowing a 20-point lead the way that they – 20-point plus lead the way that they did. Yeah. So I don't know. It's twofold for me. He's looking like he's trying to make me eat crow, but at the same time, are these defenses just not respecting him and they're making him do exactly what the Raiders did, was, hey, play quarterback, but we honestly don't even have respect for you as a quarterback as well. So I'm curious to see how the defenses adjust to his level of play improving. Do they start playing more scheme defenses against him? Do they scheme purposefully to prevent him from throwing the ball and make the Bills a running team? What's the decision by defenses if Josh Allen is going to play at a higher level?
Yeah, because they don't want to run the ball, which I think that kind of shows that what the coordinator has – he has a lot of faith in Josh because they don't want to run the ball.
Well, I'll tell you what, the man's on his way to a head coaching job.
Yeah. Yeah. The ball.
He's done some very, very — that entire coaching staff in Buffalo has done some very impressive things the last few years.
Yeah. They're really good coaching staff. I mean, that was the difference in that game. But I just — his play, like, I really feel like that he's like — it's more than just, you know, him just a crab, and like, it's just — I'm sure he'll struggle probably against, like, the Patriots, because, you know, that's just Bill
Belichick. What I was just going to say. We're going to get a real test of Josh Allen when they play New England.
I still think he's going to play better than he did last year against the Patriots, for sure. I think even all around, even if he just kind of goes back to normal, good quarterback play, I still think he's going to be above average all year. He's kind of shown that. That's what I'm saying. Maybe he won't stick to the MVP level. Maybe he does. I don't know. But, you know,
I feel like be interesting, Marcus.
I feel like the what we're going to talk about later, your boy is just going to steal MVP from everybody anyways because he's Aaron Rodgers. And they're like, oh, Aaron's having a great year. They're just going to get – they're gonna, okay, he's going to steal from Russell.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
But that's what I think, too. I mean, that's my personal opinion because I already see it. He's on team. We'll get there. I already feel like that's already – it's already happening, unless Russell just keeps going. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But
you're getting ahead of yourself. Let's keep it. Let's keep it here. I'm gonna finish with this statement here about Josh Allen.
All right,
Marcus. He has moved me from he is straight garbage to hashtag we'll see.
Oh, so he's moved a little bit for you. Okay,
he's moved the needle for me in the first four games of the season. I'm gonna be interested to see if, as the year progresses, do I get to throw down the "I told you so," or does he move up for me?
Okay, all right, we'll see about that. That is a good we'll see.
Hashtag we'll see.
All right, so let's keep it moving, Chris. Dwayne Haskins
benched.
Not only benched. Demoted, I feel like, kicked off the team.
Yeah, no kidding. Kyle Allen starting in Washington for the Washington football team. Alex One Leg Smith is the backup quarterback. What a story, by the way.
And then they were giving Steven Montez reps. Not him today. They gave Steven Montez reps.
Get out of here.
Yeah, from Colorado.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they gave him reps, bro.
So I got a big question for you, Marcus, because his numbers aren't that bad. He's really not having that bad of a year. He's still a brand new prospect in the NFL.
Yeah,
this isn't a Mitch Trubisky situation where you basically know what you got out of him. But at the same time, very similar college careers.
Well, Mitch Trubisky has 48 starts, right? Right. How many starts does he have?
In the NFL?
Yeah, in the NFL. Well,
he's got two full seasons under his belt. Two full seasons under his belt as a starter.
Like, he has to have at least 40 starts because he started his rookie year, too, for most of the year. Yes. So he has over 40 starts. I mean, that's totally different. I see where you're getting at. I know where you're getting at, which is a point that – which is a great point, which is, do you take quarterbacks who only started for a year? I think that's where you're going, right? Is that where you're going?
Well, Chris? I'm going back more to their college days.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like,
college quarterback
that only played a year.
I hate that with a passion. You don't know anything about a guy after one season, especially when it's a season where they just blew everybody out. Where's the adversity?
Yeah.
Where's the adversity? This is the NFL. This is the highest level. You're never going to be at the top of your game 24/7 unless you're one of the elite elites.
Yeah.
And both of those guys coming out were nowhere near that. These aren't number one overall draft picks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say Haskins has the talent. It's just you're right. He only started 1 year. He only played 1 year. And he's a redshirt sophomore, which I think is the most dangerous thing you could do is take a redshirt sophomore. It really hasn't worked yet. I mean, you could look at Darnold, you could look at Johnny Manziel, you could look at Jameis Winston if you want to throw him in there, but that's your personal opinion if you think that he's good. You know, like the history of redshirt sophomores is just not, you know,
not only that, the type of offenses that they came out of too. I think Winston was the only one that was the closest to a pro offense.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So I have questions about that, but at the same time, he's not having that bad of a year. Like, you knew Washington was going to be one of the low, weird teams of the season. So we're four games in. They won a game they had no business winning against Philly.
Yeah.
They're only a half game back in the division. What's the reason for the change? And here's what I think it is.
What do you think it is?
I think he's got a problem in the locker room.
I think so, too.
I think he's got a massive problem in the locker room. Last year he came in overweight, didn't he?
No. It's not even that. It's not even that. I'll tell you this. I'm
not saying that it's the weight. Like,
No.
I don't think the kid understands that he's in the NFL and that he needs to be putting more effort forward. I think that he just is in there like, I'm a number one overall draft pick. You see, I played at Ohio State. I'm the king of the castle. You need to treat me like the king of the castle. I think this is more a reality check than anything else.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's that. I'm going to give you a different opinion than that. I think that he leads differently than Ron Rivera likes. I think he's – because there's this – after their garbage time touchdown last week, they were down 31-10. They did a nice little drive, had a touchdown, 31-7.
When he – what was that, at the goal line and he got
– Not even that, but like after they scored, they were down like a lot. They scored one time, 31-17. And he was on the sidelines like smiling and like, you know, joking with the players and and, you know, I could just see like Ron Rivera, somebody like that. Like that's kind of like I need like a military general leader at quarterback, right?
Okay.
That I could feel like he probably – I could see how that could – his personality and how lax he is as a leader, which doesn't mean he's not a good leader. It's just that he's lax. He's just more of like a – he's not like a get-in-your-face, like, you know,
guy.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And some coaches don't like that, bro. They do not like that at
all. Is it just me, or does him and Trubisky sound more and more like the same person? Because they had a problem with the way that Mitch was off the field as well.
But you know, that kind of goes back to, I mean, coaching style. Like maybe if Haskins had a more free loving coach that let him lead how he wants to lead, it'd be different. But Ron Rivera is not going to have that. You smiling down 31-17. And I saw that video. I was like, oh man, he's going to get benched. I mean, it happened.
I mean, it's one thing to be demoted to the backup quarterback. It's another thing to be made the third stringer and to have the practice squad guy taking snaps. Yeah. Like this is, there's a clear message being sent to Dwayne Haskins. And I think, you got to really see how he's going to react to it all. He's so young still. Like this was a really weird move in my opinion. I don't get it. Like unless there's some teachable moment that's what exactly Ron's trying to do.
They wanted to play Kyle Allen too, which I think is dumb. But
it comes back to he's not my guy. Like yeah, I didn't draft him. Kyle Allen was with Ron in Carolina.
And they like
him. He had some success in Carolina, too. So, I mean, the organization really didn't like Dwayne in the first place from even when they drafted him.
I know.
So, this is a very interesting move, in my opinion. I'm looking around the league, and I'm thinking there's nowhere to trade the guy.
Yeah, I mean, you can go back up somewhere. Like, you could go back up like Big Ben or something.
But he seems like too much of a project to even have trade value.
I think differently of than that. I don't think he's that much of a project because from my summer watch from him, there were some games where I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty impressive. Just from a mental aspect, I think what I believe is he needs more starts in that offense, because it did last year when he played, it took him a while. it took about like five games, and then the
NFL's changed, Marcus. The NFL has changed. There's no time for you need more starts anymore. That's not this league anymore. You're not going to get Troy Aikman losing his first 11 starts. You're not going to get a 3-13 Peyton Manning anymore. That's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, because I mean, with Kevin O'Connell, like I think that he was able to pick it up at the end of the season, because his last two games against Philly and New York, and Philly doesn't have a bad defense. Like I don't want to hear that, especially last year they gave up like.
Well, shoot! Especially this last week, they turned it up.
Right? They don't have a bad.
They showed up.
They're. I mean, they have some bad moments. They're a solid defense, sure. Right? They'll have like one game they look like they're terrible, and another game they look really good. I mean, mostly based on game plan, right?
That's just the enigma that is Philadelphia, though.
Exactly.
Did you see everybody in the Monday night game pick San Francisco? Everybody.
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, you can't all pick the Niners. That means something weird is going to happen here tonight.
Nick Mullins fooled the world with this little performance against the Giants.
I'll tell you what, CJ looked good.
I mean,
for being thrown in there last second like that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody looks good. Bad. My Kyle Shanahan can make me look good. I feel like that. I can at least get a wide open pass to, you know, just trust my line. Hopefully I don't get hit.
Like Burrow?
Yeah.
That video today. So that Twitter video, I don't know if anybody saw it. I know I had a few people reach out to me about it. I posted about it today. They got the video of and the mic on Burrow scrambling and trying to do this QB slide. He's talking about, I already learned. I don't want to end up all banged up again like last week. I learned from last week.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a funny video. But I think mentally, I think he could pick up an offense eventually. I just think that he didn't have time to pick it up this year. I mean, there's no off season. There's no all that stuff.
And there's preseason.
I don't think he got a full chance to pick up the offense. Because I'm telling you, like, his last two games in Kevin O'Connell's offense, he looked like he was going to be legit. And he fooled me. Like, I watched those two games, and I was like, man, this guy's anticipating. He's like finding holes. He's like he's reading the field well, and he's making the right decisions. And I mean, he still had accuracy issues. So I mean, that's always going to be issues. Mm-hmm.
He turns over the ball like crazy.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
I'm a little surprised by that roster in Washington. There's some talent there.
Yeah, I mean.
Scary Terry on the outside.
Yeah, but there's nobody else though besides that.
Logan Wilson's turning into a little bit of a.
You mean Logan Thomas?
Logan Thomas is turning into a little bit of a tight end there.
A little bit
of a tight end there. They got some pieces on the offensive line. What impresses me the most about the Redskins is that I can't call them the Redskins
football
anymore.
Team.
The football team in Washington. What impresses me the most is that defensive line.
Yeah.
That is a young and talented defensive line.
And that's probably what Ron Rivera thinks. He probably thinks he can win with Kyle Allen, but I don't know about that.
He might be able to.
I don't think so. I think Kyle Allen's not very good.
They're only a half game out of it. That NFC East is a hot mess of garbage.
Hot mess of garbage. And, you know, we talk about all those – you know, it's
it's a second segue
because we got another guy in the NFC East that we're talking about, sophomore quarterbacks, and we got Daniel Jones.
All right, fine. That's another guy that I have a problem with.
And you know, it's funny with you talk about the sophomore quarterbacks. I had a I did a summer watch on all of them. Just, you know, I try to get a summer watch on every quarterback, but I couldn't get to all of them this year. But had a summer watch.
This year was different.
Yeah, this year was different. Different
Marcus. Don't give yourself such a hard time.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But I went to, you know, I watched Daniel Jones, and it's like I like him because he's like tough. He's like a tough quarterback. He's gonna hang in the pocket. He's always gonna try to chuck it deep. But then, you know, it's to a fault at this point. Like, and it's a big fault at this point.
It's a huge fault.
It's just like he's just a turnover machine at this point. And
I don't know. I'm going to cut you off real quick. I don't know if it's all him, or because I kind of have a problem with the play calling too, I think. But at the same time.
Oh, yeah, because it's Jason Garrett. But
at the same time, I mean, you don't have Saquon back there. That's huge. I'm sorry. That's their best football player on that entire team. You don't have him back there. There's an issue. The second issue I have is the probably second most athletically gifted player on that offense is their young tight end. And I don't think they're utilizing him at all, or defenses are scheming specifically against him.
Or maybe he's too athletic for Jason Garrett. And he needs Jason Witten. Maybe that's what it
– It drives me insane. I'm sorry. There's no reason that they're not throwing the ball to Ingram 10 times a game. It drives me literally insane, especially with a guy like Daniel Jones who needs something stable to happen in that offense. Why aren't you throwing quick hits in the seam? Why aren't you throwing speed outs to the tight end against a linebacker that can't match up with him? Like, why aren't you doing things to try and make him comfortable on a drive? They did it for one drive against the Steelers, and then we never saw it again.
No, I mean, he's
and I'm not talking.
It's hard to say because then you can talk about him, right? And I will. I mean, his numbers were better than Haskins last year, right? His numbers were better. I'll give him that. But this year, they're not. And I know you can talk about situation and all that stuff.
I think it's they're in a position where his numbers should be so much better because they play a lot of garbage time.
And they're not, though.
And they're not. Yeah, you're 100% right. They're not as good as they need to be.
But, I mean, that kind of goes back to saying these coach hires, man. I don't know what these guys are looking at when they hire some of these coaches. Like,
that rule's not there. He's in Carolina.
No, Rule's smart. Rule got Joe Brady.
It's what's his name in
Joe Judge
from New England. Judge, yes.
No, Matt Rule's smart.
Matt Rule at Carolina 2-2.
That's what I'm saying, because he wouldn't got Joe Brady, who could scheme and is a good offensive guy, and then he brought Phil Snow with him, which I thought was interesting. I mean, he brought the Baylor coach, and then it was funny they tried to run the what. I liked it, but it was just funny. The first game against the Raiders, they went into the three safety look, and then the Raiders just like chopped them up. It was just funny. But you don't do that in the NFL.
Was that a 3-3-6?
Yeah, so like
they went the base 3-3-6.
It's a 3-3-5. Yeah, you're doing your math wrong, I think.
Oh yeah, I did it backwards. 11, 3-3-5. Yeah, not 12. See, throw a flag on me.
Yeah, but like it was just funny to do that. But you know that's the difference. Like Matt Rule brought in Joe Brady. Joe Brady was in the NFL and college, so he can mix them, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. then he's got that offense looking pretty damn good, right? And then, but yeah.
even without McCaffrey,
right?
But and then you go to New York. Yeah, I'm sorry, you cannot hire a New England coordinator to be your head coach. You can't do it.
He wouldn't hire Jason Garrett, who hasn't been an offensive coordinator since like 2008.
What was he thinking? I don't know, you know, man. Why are some organizations just an absolute mess all the time?
It just boggles my mind, bro. You know what I'm saying?
And especially like iconic ones like the Giants and the Bears. Like these are some massive, longtime organizations, and they just why can't they get it figured out?
Yeah, man, it's just bad, bro. It's bad over there in New York. But, I mean, Daniel Jones, I mean, he's not showing – I mean, he played better last year than he's playing right now. Let's say that. I'm going to say that.
I completely agree with you.
I mean, he doesn't have Saquon, and I understand that, but I still think he's got to play a little bit better himself. I think, right? He's got to perform, too. He's got to – right? I mean, but –
Do you think he knows it and he's forcing it?
I think he's in a new offense that's bad. It's pretty proven. I mean, because last year, you know what I'm saying, when he was in offense, he was able to produce still. I mean, they didn't win, but he was able to throw 23 touchdowns. That's a lot for a rookie. No matter how you look at it, usually rookies who hit those marks, like 23 touchdowns, are usually ended up being good or at least mid-tier quarterbacks at least. If you throw in 20 touchdowns your rookie year, right, usually –
Yeah.
Sometimes you can just take that tank like he is. He's not having it. 2 touchdowns, 5 picks, man, it's not good. And then, you know, I'm not even looking about how many times he's fumbled because I'm sure it's a ton. I think he fumbled like 20 times last year. I'm sure it's a lot. So, you know, it's crazy. But let's get to another sophomore quarterback real quick. I mean, we can't talk about Drew Lock. He's played one game.
No, not interested in talking about Drew Lock.
I mean, he didn't look very good that one game, but
there's a young man in the AFC.
Yeah,
in the NFC West that I think there needs to be a conversation here about this young man.
Let's just throw out the stat for Kyler Murray. Did you see the stat I retweeted? I don't know if you saw it. I got one for you. Fewest passing yards by number of completions.
Yeah.
How he's the he's on his list twice as 4 people since 1950, having 24 completions or more and less than 150 yards. So,
Marcus, that's a conversation.
Go ahead.
I don't get to tell you about Josh Allen.
Okay.
But I get to tell you about Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury.
No, it's you can't do this to Cliff. I don't think it's Cliff. I'm going to keep it real with you, Chris. I did a summer watch on this offense in Kyler Murray.
Okay.
And I think Kyler Murray, which if people listeners, they might stop listening after I say this, but I think Kyler Murray holds back Cliff.
You're going to make Omar mad.
I think Kyler Murray holds back Cliff. I think Cliff gives him the easiest offense for him to run and make reads. I'm telling you, if Aaron Rodgers was in this offense, I don't think Aaron Rodgers would throw an interception. He would probably throw 50 touchdowns because Cliff.
He's going to do that as it is.
I know that, but I'm saying, Chris, Cliff makes it so easy for his quarterback. Like it is, he designs everything around Kyler. He gives Kyler the most comfortable looks. He gives Kyler easy looks. Kyler just misses them. He doesn't hit them. Or Kyler is a little
scared in the pocket.
Yes. More than a little.
More than a little is right.
More than a little, okay.
More than a little,
which
right.
comes back
to—he's a hell of an athlete.
Yes,
which
comes back to my point, right? What happened in this Carolina game, right? I watched this game. What happened in the Carolina game? He got hit early a lot. What happens when a quarterback who gets hit early that doesn't like to be hit? What happens, Chris?
Eyes drop, not looking downfield anymore, just looking right at that line of scrimmage, trying to figure out who's coming at you, when they're coming at you,
and what else happens.
He gets hit even more.
Or he becomes check down Charlie, getting rid of the ball.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Right?
I see where you're going with
so,
that.
Okay. You see where I'm going with this?
Uh-huh,
so,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's something that needs to be talked about. He has the lowest yards per completion right now. He hasn't ever hit over his YPA right now, 6.4. He just had a YPA game of 4.3. He's done it more than once. He has DeAndre Hopkins. He can't
that
say anything anymore.
Completely disappears once the fourth quarter shows up. There's zero offense in the fourth
quarter. If you hit
quarter.
Him early, bro, he's not going to want to do it anymore. I'm telling you, it's basically just that's the read on him. I mean, people say that about Derek Carr, but which is true at time. It's true. If you hit Derek Carr early, he might not have the best game in the world. It's just I'll keep it real with you. But I think Kyler has that same issue. If you hit him early,
it's over.
It's he's just not going to stand in there. He already chucks and ducks, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You know, I'm kind of mad because Cliff was like dialing it up last year. I watched these games. He's just dialing it up. Murray's just real.
Hey, I mean, I'm not mad, Marcus. This feeds my narrative. It keeps my narrative going. Ever since we talked about him being drafted there in Arizona.
Yeah, and it's just weird because now it's more of a trend. Like, maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I'm just – I was just – you know, the games I watch, maybe I – you know, maybe it's just last year. Maybe he has a better line. You know, maybe he's going to do some more things, better things. But, no, he almost cost – he cost them games last year, dude. Like, he was – like, he would – like he would have pressure and he wouldn't step into a throw. He would like fade back. He would like, fade back, right?
Off his back foot. Yeah.
Off his back foot. Try just not to get hit. And right. He'd throw a pick. Cause he's,
so I got a question for you.
Yes.
Does quarterback competition help a guy like Kyler Murray or hurt a guy like Kyler Murray?
He would hurt him. He's so never had it. What competition has he had his whole life?
You're right. I mean, I guess the closest thing he had was sitting behind Baker. That's the closest thing that he's ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so what if Arizona does something, say, make a trade for a guy like Haskins? A guy that could fit that offense.
I don't know. I don't think they would. I don't think they would. I don't think they would do that. I don't think you'd handle that well.
I was just trying to throw that out there, see what it would sound like.
He wouldn't handle that well. I don't think – no. There's no way he would be pissed.
Okay. He'd go play baseball right away.
Or something. I don't know.
You know it's going to happen. I'm waiting for it. I'm still waiting for it. I don't think I don't think he signs a second contract in the NFL.
You think he goes to baseball?
I think he goes to baseball before the second contract.
I'm just saying, I think a lot of his, like, people see the big arm, they see the run highlights on Twitter, but they don't see, like, the in-between stuff that I was watching this summer and that has carried over to this year. Like, that is not stuff that he has got better at. He still is a little shaky in the pocket. He still kind of – he doesn't like to be hit. He doesn't – it's just something – something's missing. Mm-hmm. And he, I mean, you could say that, well, Cliff Berry likes screens and all that stuff, but, like, I mean, so does Andy Reid. Andy Reid likes a screen. There's never he likes a little what's that toss called, that when they toss in front of him, the guys do the jet sweep.
Shuffle pass.
Yeah,
loves the shuffle pass.
He loves the little shuffle pass to Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill takes it 30 yards. Like, that's not an excuse.
That's not playing
to me.
Quarterback.
That's not an excuse to me. Anyways, for about the screen is not. There's something there where he's like, if you hit him a lot, he becomes checked on Charlie, because one, he's trying to get rid of the football. He's not going to wait for deep balls anymore. And you know what I'm saying? He's going to start running. Right. There's a lot of things. And then you don't have a lot of, then you're not scoring points, because the Cardinals aren't scoring points right now. Everybody in the league is, they're not. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's interesting. That's just my thoughts on it, on Kyler. I don't know how you want to, got any last things about it?
No, man. He just let him – come on, feed me. Feed me, Kyler. Feed my narrative. Feed what I've been saying since you got drafted. Just keep making me feel good about my analysis. And let me just file this away as a reminder to people who listen to the podcast that Marcus and I know what we're talking about.
I'm just – it's just two times, man, 24 completions under 150 yards – in 2 years, I mean, that's a trend. That's not like a that's not a blip. We're hitting the trends mark. That's all I'm saying.
I wish the guy all the success in the world when he starts his Major League Baseball career. That's all I'm saying. You know, it's not that I don't like the kid. I wish him all the success in the world when he switches to baseball.
If he plays for the Brewers, right? Don't play for the Brewers. I know you got some power there, bro. I mean, he did hit like 17. He had like 12 homers and, like, you know what I'm saying? The 38.
Don't make me have to, like, embrace him as one of my players.
He was 300, bro, with hitting 12 homers.
Well,
bro.
He's with the A's, isn't he? Isn't he in the Athletics organization?
I don't know if he still is, right? Does he still have that contract?
They still have the rights to him. I can guarantee you they still have the rights to him. Texas still has the rights to Russell Wilson.
He's got some power, bro. I'm just saying, he's got some power. He's got a little power, bro. All right, let's keep it moving. Now we're going back to the NFC East. Chris,
give it to me. Give me my other guy that I got right.
I don't think you got Dak Prescott right. I'm gonna disagree with you on this one. I already know, but we're gonna talk about Dak Prescott, who's off to a career year. But you know, some people say it's garbage time. Some people say it's skill,
and that's me, Marcus. I'm the guy that's gonna tell you it's garbage time.
You're the guy that's gonna say it's garbage time.
And here's why. I'm sorry. When you're down 41 to 14, when you are losing to another team and that is what the score is, the other team stops trying. They stop trying, Marcus. Yeah. And you know what happened? You know what happened before they even got there? Did you see how many balls went through the hands of the defenders in Cleveland?
No, I did not see that.
There were three separate occasions, and I'm not even talking about the one that he fit in the seam to hit his receiver, who should have gotten his lights knocked out, but because the NFL is what it is now, you know, that they're not going for the receivers like they used to.
I don't know why the DBs sometimes just don't knock balls down. I mean, just knock that ball down. I know you want the pick. I get it. But if he just reached out, if he reached out and put his hand out, he knocks that ball down. And then
It's two things. I don't even think he was going for the pick. I think he was going for the hit and then realized, I'm going to get a penalty if I smoke him this, like, right now.
Yeah.
So there were way too many bad balls by Dak Prescott when the game was still a game for me to say, a 500-yard performance isn't just garbage time.
I mean, we got three 450-yard performances in a row. We got three of them.
Marcus, they have trailed by more than three scores in all of those performances. So you've got teams on the defensive side of the ball that quit on the game. And this is the NFL.
See, I wouldn't say they quit on the Seahawks game. I'm going to be fair. Seahawks game, they didn't quit. It was still a two-score game. And, I mean, they came back. He did lead them back against the Seahawks, you know what I'm saying? And he played well that game.
But what happened at the end, Marcus?
I mean, he did throw a pick at the end. I mean, that's okay. Fair. But so, I mean, so
here, here's not only does he make mistakes in the game early that puts his team in a hole, he doesn't have the clutch gene to win the game at the end.
Well, see, that's not true either. He's at the most.
No.
He's got the most comebacks since 2016. I mean, he's right there with Carr. You know what I'm saying? Him and Stafford, Carr and Stafford. They all play for
Carr
bad organizations.
And Stafford.
All three of those guys.
You want to talk about he's having career years and you're going to compare him to guys like Carr and Stafford.
I'm just saying. But I mean, just think about that.
This is a guy that wants to get paid $40 million a year and you're comparing him to Carr and Stafford.
What I'm saying, Chris, all I'm saying here is that, I mean, if you compare him to Carr and Stafford, he plays for a bad organization. Let's just be real. The Cowboys are a bad organization. I don't care what anybody says. Let's keep it real at this point. They keep trying to build these super teams and they keep being mediocre, which means that there's something else there, right? So that's my thing with Dak. I think Dak has become Tony Romo at this point.
He's not even close to Tony.
I don't know if you would say that about Tony Romo at the time. I think 10 years ago, I don't know if you would be – I think you'd be saying the same things about Romo that you're saying about Dak just because it's – just remember how people used to talk about Romo, right?
Tony also got injured a lot.
Yeah, but I'm
curious how it would have ended for Tony had he been healthy.
Yeah, but
that's my curiosity.
The team that Dak has now.
I don't have that curiosity for Dak. Dak is healthy.
The team that Dak has now, right? I mean, you could make the case that Tony would have won, especially in 2016, that if they played Tony, that they might have
win more playoff games.
They might have been.
I would make that case, but they probably would have got Aaron Rodgers anyway.
I think they would have. I mean, I don't think
they don't get past Aaron.
Yeah, they would. I mean, Aaron would have made that throw to Jared Cook.
He's got that. Aaron Rodgers has got that. He's got their number.
Right.
He's got their number.
So I mean, that would have happened anyways. But I just think Dak has become Tony. I think his fan base hates him.
You know who Dak has become? Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
They're the same guy. They're the same guy, except
that's tough.
Kirk's not been in a position to have to deal with as much garbage time as Dak does. Dak's numbers for me are a result of garbage time.
They're
football.
Inflated. They're inflated.
They're absolutely inflated.
Super inflated.
So I got a situation for you. Are you ready for this? I'm going to run you through it.
Okay.
What's the Cowboys' record, Marcus?
1-3.
1-3. Do you think it's possible that with where the mindset is for this football team, where the injuries are with this football team, where their star defensive end is calling his defensive teammates soft, where the defensive coordinator hasn't been in the league for ages and is running an old scheme defense, where you got the same offense being called that was there when Jason Garrett was there. Do you think this team could be in a position to have the first overall pick next season?
That's not going
to
happen. They're going to be 7.
Do you
nine.
Think that there's the
they're
possibility
gonna be seven, nine, eight, eight. No.
that
no.
Jerry
is after
that
is
number
that,
one pick?
I'm going to stop you there. No.
You think there's a chance that Jerry's going to not pay Dak again?
See, now that's a different conversation.
And instead of paying Dak, go for the number one overall pick.
No, because whoever gets number one, Chris, whoever gets number one is not giving it up. I'm telling you that.
Here's the question. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Because who's in line for the number one overall pick right now?
Isn't it
the Jets, the Giants?
Oh, the Jets are gonna will take Trevor Lawrence.
They have Sam Darnold. Doesn't you think they're going to call it quits on the Sam Darnold experiment already?
And I think the Giants might think about it too. I think
it's way too
I think how people feel about Trevor Lawrence, which I mean, it's a different conversation. For
you
me.
You don't think the New York Giants would take the opportunity to take as many draft picks away from Jerry Jones as possible,
or whoever want to trade up to get Trevor Lawrence? I don't know.
I'm not saying whoever. I'm specifically saying Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys.
No, that's not going to happen. No, Chris,
at the end of the year. Hold on. Here's what happens at the end of the year. Kellen Moore's gone because the offense doesn't work. Mike McCarthy needs to set his own offense with his own terminology and call the plays. What does Mike McCarthy have success with in his NFL career? A young quarterback with no ego to do exactly what you need him to do, who's incredibly talented, right? You got a running game with Zeke. I'm not just being devil's advocate.
I think Mike McCarthy likes Dak. I don't think he's going to want to move on from Dak. I think Jerry Jones is not very fond of Dak.
Do you know what the best case scenario for Dak Prescott is this next season?
What?
The franchise tag.
Which I think they will, because I don't think you say Dak's numbers are inflated. I think Dak's a good quarterback. I think his tape is good. He has really good tape.
He is not a top 10 quarterback.
I don't know. I think he has really good tape.
I will not give you top 10.
I know you won't, but I'm going to tell you that he has really great tape. That's what I'm going to tell you. His tape is great.
It's nice to have tape against Garbage Time.
It's not even Derek Garbage Time.
I'm gonna tell you right now to go. I'm gonna tell you to go back to that game at home against Cleveland when the score is close. I'm talking 14-7. I'm talking 14-14. I'm talking 21-14. Go back and look at the tape. Go back and look at the tape against that banged up secondary. And you go ahead and tell me that he's got good tape.
He does.
I'm going to make you do it.
That's fine. I agree with that.
We are going to bring this topic back because I got a bye week next week. Bye week next week with my Packers, and I can spend all day watching everybody else. I'm going to make you go back. I'm going to make you watch this game. I want you to tell me how good that tape is.
I will stand by that. I think he has good tape. I think he plays the quarterback position pretty well, just the position. Well,
sure didn't look
moving
like
in the pocket, Cleveland. Maneuvering, you know, making the right reads.
Sure didn't look that way against Cleveland. A banged up Cleveland secondary.
He plays for the Cowboys, Chris. I think sometimes we have to think about that because I mentioned two quarterbacks that have comebacks who play for the Lions and the Raiders. So there's something there.
Marcus,
if the three quarterbacks who have the most comeback wins since 2016 all played for bad organizations. Maybe there's something there. That's all I'm saying.
What's the talent look like on the outside for the Cowboys?
How do those
three wide receivers look?
They're pretty damn good.
And how's that running back behind him?
He's pretty damn good.
And how is the offensive line pretty generally for the Dallas Cowboys the last five seasons?
It's been pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay. We're running out of options for who is at fault here at this point in time.
I'm just saying sometimes it's just the uniform. Sometimes it is. I think sometimes it's the uniform, bro. I seriously feel that. I mean, just watching like Raiders players leave and then be awesome somewhere else. I don't know, man. Sometimes it is just the organization is just bad. And I think Dak might be dealing with that a little bit too, that if he was in a different situation, right, he might be winning more.
What situation would you plug him into right now and say that he would be winning more? I might be able to give you one.
I would say the Raiders.
Interesting.
I think if they plugged him in.
You got two on my list now.
I think if they plugged him
that
in,
that would be very interesting.
I really think he
would have success. I think he'd have success in Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, but those are places with good lines too. So, and I think
good lines, good running backs. Like it's the exact same formula that he's got there in Dallas, except the receivers are better in Dallas.
But it's sometimes it's, I don't know. It's just, you know, it is funny. I talk about bad organizations and I send him to the Raiders, but I just feel like if he propped in this situation, you know, I mean, he would definitely make up for situations where Carr wouldn't do well, Dak would do well, and especially under pressure and under duress, because Dak's more calm in the pocket, calmer feet, different things like that.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, Marcus, if they do not get to the NFC Championship game, the man's getting franchised for a second year.
I agree with that. I am not going to disagree with that. All right, Chris, let's end this show with a little elite quarterback discussion here.
Ooh,
talk about who's elite.
I like this conversation. This one's fun for me. Marcus, I will say there are three guaranteed names that you can put the stamp of elite on right now. I'm hesitant to say a fourth, but we already spoke about a man who has – exceeded my expectations. He's got the stamp hashtag we'll see on him.
Okay.
So that he's in a subcategory at this point for me. But there's three men that I consider elite in the NFL right now. I'm sure you can guess them. In no specific order.
Mahomes, Wilson, and you're gonna go Rodgers, which I know you're gonna. Well,
gotta go Rodgers, but I apologize. I'm gonna have to backpedal.
Okay.
I'm gonna put Mr. Hashtag We'll See at five. There are four elite names. Forgive me. There are four elite names.
Who's the fourth guy?
I think this one we may have to have a deeper conversation about, but I don't know how you put Mr. I threw five touchdown passes last week outside of the elite conversation.
Oh, Tom Brady?
That's Tom Brady out there in Tampa Bay.
Tom Brady's not elite anymore, though, bro. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it.
Marcus.
I'm not, bro. I'm not going to do
Marcus,
it.
Marcus.
Uh-uh.
Do you know what his numbers are?
I know.
Over the course of the last three seasons?
through
four games?
I can't do the Tom Brady's elite thing anymore.
I need more from Tom. And I'm not taking credit for this statistic. I got to throw a shout-out to my brother.
Okay.
He threw this to me because him and I have been on the same wavelength all week talking football. The last three seasons, Marcus, 2018, Tom Brady, 918 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, QB rating 94. 2019, 1,061 yards, 7 touchdowns, rating 97.5. This year, 1,122 yards, 11 touchdowns, 99.4 quarterback rating. So here's one thing.
So he's
Tom
good.
Brady's not a system quarterback.
This is not a
product of Bill Belichick. Even though he's still throwing those kicks
on the out routes, but that's okay.
As you learned in this week's game against Kansas City, because Brian Hoyer looked like absolute garbage, just complete garbage. Couldn't remember how much time was on the clock. Couldn't remember if he had a timeout left. Cost the Patriots at the bare minimum 6 points. At the bare minimum, he cost them 6 points with allowing the clock to run out before halftime because he took a sack, because he took 6 days to throw a ball when they had 20 seconds left on the clock. They should have been able to run three looks into the end zone before they kick a field goal. Hoyer was garbage. Stidham didn't look bad. One of his interceptions, not his fault, off of Edelman's hands, and it happened to return for a pick six.
The second one was.
Second one is, okay, let's give the kid a little slack, okay? First game ever. And they were still in it, which is incredible.
Yeah.
I think if Cam Newton was playing, that game may have ended differently.
Yeah, they win that game if Cam's playing.
That game may have – I'm not going to say that they would have won it. I'm just going to say – the whole sequence of that football game would have changed. The stats would have looked completely different. The play calling would have looked completely different. It is 1,000% a different football game if Cam Newton's in there. And I think it's a closer game based off of what the New England defense was able to do, which blows my mind. that they could do that to Patrick Mahomes. Belichick has Mahomes' number. I'm telling you right now. Yeah. They do not want to play against each other in the playoffs. That's going to be trouble for Kansas City. Because when I watch Russell Wilson throw 5 touchdown passes against Bill Belichick's defense, getting the ball downfield and Mahomes can't do anything, I'm a little concerned there, Marcus. I'm a little concerned there.
Belichick's just a genius, bro. Like, that's nothing like
Russell Wilson's got his number.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's got his number. That game, because you know, I watched it because, you know, the Raiders play the Patriots. Oh, I saw a lot of that game. And he was just kind of just chucking it up. And so sometimes the guys would just – they would just make great plays. So I don't think a lot of people would just chuck it up against the Patriots like Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
and DK Metcalf got behind Gilmore a couple of times. So it was different. I don't think if they played again.
5 touchdowns is interesting.
I know.
And that's why Russell is in that elite conversation.
Yeah, but Tom Brady's not there, bro. I'm not putting Tom in there.
Tom's there. Nope.
Tom is good still. Yeah, is Tom good? Yes. Tom is Tom.
He's 4.
He's not.
He's 4. I'm sorry. Marcus, the game of the season is happening not in week 5, but in week 6. It's going to set the bar for the playoffs in the NFC. You know what the game is?
What game is that?
Green Bay at Tampa Bay.
See, I don't think that Tom is playing well. Okay, I'm not gonna say he's not. I just can't call him elite right now. I just can't do it. Just like I really like Aaron Rodgers is playing like 2014 Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he's playing like 2015 Aaron Rodgers.
What do you mean though? Rodgers has not been Aaron Rodgers since. Okay, he had that run in 2016. I'll give him that. But he has not been Aaron Rodgers like this year since 2014. This is the last one MVP. You can go look at his numbers. You could just compare it. You compare his numbers 2014 and compare them this year. They're basically the same. So,
did you see what he said on the Pat McAfee show?
Yeah, I know he said that, but that's not even true because your YPA was like 7. I don't want to hear that, Aaron. I don't want to hear about you. You had some down years, okay? It's okay to say you had some.
Marcus. If your down year is 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
But why is he throwing 4 picks, though,
and Chris? Over 3,500 yards?
But why is he throwing 4 flat? Why? Because he's 4 not. He was gun shy back then, taking sacks. He was gun shy. He was taking sacks.
I was one of the most critical people about Aaron Rodgers the last 2 seasons because he was holding the football. He was taking sacks. So yes. I get it, but you're still in not only in the playoffs, fighting and playing well in the playoffs.
See, I think what happens with Aaron Rodgers, and I mean, I know you're a Packers fan, but everybody does this with Aaron Rodgers. So it's
Listen. Okay, yes, I'm a Packers fan, but you got to admit, when it comes to quarterback play, when it comes to play in any game, I'm very unbiased.
Yeah, well, just hear me out with this with Aaron Rodgers, and I think that's a lot of it is with Aaron is that we don't hold Aaron Rodgers to the standard of 2014 Aaron Rodgers, and we just because he's Aaron Rodgers. Like, it doesn't matter really how he plays, to be honest. Like, some people, even after, you know, 2018, the NFL was ranking Aaron Rodgers as number 2 quarterback in the NFL. Like they don't care how he looks or what he really puts up. So he could say stuff like, my down year, because everybody thinks you're Aaron Rodgers. Nobody thinks you ever had a down year. Like, the average fan would never say, Aaron Rodgers down year. Like, they would never say that, like, ever, right? Like, somebody like me who's like into quarterbacks and all, like, you know, stats and all that quarterback stuff, I could say that, but the average fan would never, ever. You get yelled out of a bar, you'd get yelled. Like, if you said that, if you were in a bar and you're like, Aaron Rodgers having a down year, you get yelled at the bar. They would be like, well, you're an idiot. What are you looking at?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you don't know what you're watching football. So he can say that stuff.
I've had plenty of conversations with a lot of my friends from Wisconsin. Uh-huh. And when I was dogging Rodgers for holding the ball, making poor decisions with the football, oh, I got stepped on. Ooh, did I get stepped on? I took a beating for a lot of the things that I said the last 2 seasons.
But that's what I'm saying. So I think it has a lot to do with that. And now he's back to 2014, so he's able to come back in that arena. And yeah, does he look elite again? But that's what I don't feel like he was elite coming into this season. He's having an elite season again. He's balling. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is not playing well. Like, don't get me wrong, people. Aaron Rodgers is playing. That's what I'm saying. He looks like 2014, 2013, 2012 Aaron Rodgers this year. That's what he looks like, which is, you know,
I got super excited in the first podcast of this season. And I said, give that man a contract extension. And I had to kind of take a step back. I was like, okay, I know I'm excited. Football's just starting. But I don't know, 4 games in.
Yeah.
Jordan Love who?
But also.
Jordan Love who?
Let's keep it real, Chris. Let's keep it real. You know where I'm going with this. Who have you played? let's.
Well, so the biggest test. That's why week 6.
Okay.
Against Tampa Bay. Is the benchmark for the season right now.
And yet you haven't played the Bears yet.
Let's stop. Oh, come on now. Don't do that.
You haven't played the Bears.
Don't think that the Bears are something special.
They can stop you guys, what happened. Though.
Okay. What happened to them with Indy?
They couldn't Nick score.
Nick Foles looked like Nick Foles.
Well, Colts are the best defense in the NFL right now, though.
The Colts is a very good defense, but we got the real Nick Foles showing up. Okay. What did Jair Alexander do against one of the best receivers in the NFL?
Chris, I get it. Your team zeros. Is really good. I'm just saying the Bears can slow you down, right?
Okay. Well, let's not go to the Bears yet. Okay. When that happens,
you got to play the Colts too.
When we get to the Bears, then you and I'll have a different conversation before the game, and you and I'll have a very different conversation after the game. Okay? Let's just right now the focus for me, Tampa Brady.
Okay. I just want you to, you know, just put into perspective. But you know,
my perspective is I'm on to Tampa Bay. My perspective is I'm on to Tampa Bay, and that is right now that is the biggest matchup in the NFC because there's only one bye week this year. The one seed is the only team that gets the bye week.
Yeah.
And this is a game that is going to factor into the decision that's made for the one seed in the playoffs.
You think Tampa is better than I think. I don't think Tampa's that good. I don't think they're.
Have you seen that defense, Marcus? We talked about it when they played the Saints. I'm sorry. Tampa Bay's going to be there. They're going to be there. They're very much a part of the conversation, just like right now Seattle is a part of the conversation.
They're in a bad division. I don't know about Tampa. I'm just saying.
There's a lot of offense in the NFC – South. There's a lot of offense in the NFC South. The easier road through any of these divisions right now is obviously the NFC East, but everybody in there is a disaster, so that they've basically taken themselves out of the conversation. The easiest road right now is the NFC West because you've got a Niners team that is decimated by injuries. You've got a Cardinals team that doesn't know what they're doing at the quarterback position. You've got a Seattle team that's blowing the roof off everybody that it doesn't matter how bad their defense is. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about here? What are we really talking about here?
They just don't scare me. I'm not scared of Tampa. Let's say that. I'm not scared of them.
I am. Right now I am. There's way too many weapons offensively. They've got a very solid defense. I'm grateful for the fact that the Packers are going on the bye week and they'll have 2 weeks to prepare. I think that's where the advantage will happen. I'm grateful that the stadiums are empty because that's a big road challenge, in my opinion, if the stadiums were full. So the Packers have a good situation set up for them. Aaron Rodgers playing at the elite level of football. Like I'm saying, Rodgers, Mahomes, Russell's playing amazing football, and I want to chip every single tooth in my mouth for those words coming out of it because I cannot stand giving any type of praise to Seattle. And it's Tom Brady getting that stamp of elite from me. And then number 5 is #we'll see with Josh Allen.
Okay. But it is funny. I think it's funny the way people talk about Aaron Rodgers. It's just like, oh, he elevates his players. He's playing. Like, when he was throwing those guys 2 years ago, and everybody was like, well, those guys aren't good enough. So it's just like, I don't know. He just gets so much love. He really doesn't have to do anything. Like, I really feel like he could have a season where he threw like 19 touchdowns. People would be like, "Whoa!"
Here's the biggest thing for me, and what the guy can do on the football field is amazing, to the point where he does way too much the last 2 years holding the football, trying to create additional things with guys that were just not that talented. This season, that ball's out of his hand.
I know, that's the scary part.
The offense gave up their first sack in week four, Marcus. They gave up their first sack in week four. I mean, the ball's coming out of Rodgers' hands. He must have just been
sabotaging Mike McCarthy, at this point.
That was a conversation that you and I had. We had that conversation. I very, very vocally made that point. This is not news. We talked about this. The man's happy with this situation. You got a coach that is vibing with him, that is calling the offense, and the rhythm is just phenomenal, that it does not matter who's out there. Aaron Rodgers is literally putting the ball exactly where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's having so much fun. He's messing with his coach in the first year of putting that offense together, saying, I can't hear you. The headset's – it's the helmet. I can't hear you. He's messing with his coach. They have such a good relationship that he can do that.
Yeah.
So the man's having a phenomenal time playing football. He looks fantastic. The ball's getting out of his hands. The offensive line is playing phenomenal. They get a bye week to get healthy offensively and defensively. I'm really excited to be a Packer fan, and I'm even more excited to be a fan of watching quarterback play. And I got a guy like Aaron Rodgers that I get to watch every single week.
Yeah. Must be nice, man. Must be nice.
It's fantastic, Marcus. It's absolutely fantastic.
All right.
So here's what I wish on you, Marcus.
Okay.
Here's what I wish on you. Some type of trade can be arranged to where you get your hands on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys can go and draft Trevor Lawrence.
I think, you know, Raiders fans, they want Trey Lance. That's what they want.
Let's not. We're out of time. There's no way that we have enough time for that.
All right. All right, guys. It's another episode. Thank you for listening. You know, hit us on Apple, subscribe, Spotify, download, Twitter at @TheMarkJohnNFL, at @KingManellos. At ALPAQB1 for the podcast Twitter. Then you got the Instagram, ALPA_QB1 for the Instagram. So follow us at all those places, you know.
And you get everything on Facebook too, a little pocket awareness. Yeah. We got just a little bit of pocket awareness.
Just a little bit of pocket awareness right here. So we had a good episode. Appreciate you guys listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We're out.